Paul is leaving too. So. You have cookies in your part? Oh, okay. Okay, John chapter 1. John chapter 1. John 1 and 2 Timothy 2. John chapter 1 and 2 Timothy 2. Okay, John 1, verse 1. In the beginning was a Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Drop down to 14, if you would. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, and the glory as of the only begotten Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of Him and cried, saying, This was He of whom I spake, He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for He was before me. And of His fullness have all we received in grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. Okay, in the Old Testament, the first five books, Moses. But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The Old Testament name for Jesus is Joshua. You'll find that same in the Bible. Okay, look in, you would, to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. Doesn't seem to have any relation with John 1, but we're going to look at Joshua this morning. 2 Timothy 2, verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace. Grace came by Jesus Christ. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for the masters, yet he is not crowned, except he strive lawfully. So we got the law mentioned there, and grace. I want to preach on Joshua this morning. Joshua, the successful soldier. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, I do pray you'd help us to realize that the Christian life is like the military. I pray you'd help us to be militant in our beliefs. I pray you'd help us to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ and be faithful to you. Help us to understand the truths of this blessed book. In Jesus' name, amen. You don't hear much talk about soldiers or military. You go to the average church, you stand outside the door, you look at most of the men, they look like they came out of the beauty parlor. But we are supposed to be soldiers. We're supposed to be soldiers of Jesus Christ. Preachers are supposed to be soldiers. I know a lot of them are the big fat generals, but you're supposed to be a soldier. An infantryman, he's like the dog face, they used to call him, the grunts. That's what we're supposed to be for Jesus Christ. A Roman foot soldier is described in Ephesians 6. Joshua, probably one of the greatest soldiers who ever lived. Now, this Bible, this blessed book you got in your hands, it's an awe-inspiring book. It's an amazing book. David said, I am in awe of thy word. And if you spend time in this book, and you go from cover to cover, and you read every verse, start in Genesis, and run right through that thing slowly, you just have to sit back and be amazed at this book. The so-called coincidences of this book just are amazing. The preciseness of it, the details of it. This book is a God's public records that He gave to man. It's court records is what it is. It's God's public records. Very precise. If you're not very precise, you can get your throat cut. Get hung. But it's interesting about Joshua. The law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, the first five books for your Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, is called the law. And the sixth book in your Bible, interestingly, is the first book in the Bible named after a man. Book number 6. 6 is man's number. Usually have 6 people carry the casket and they put a man 6 feet down. Man was created on the 6th day of creation. The embryo attaches itself to the womb on the 6th day of creation. And in this Bible, the 6th book is the first book named after man. The man's name is Joshua, which is the equivalent of Jesus Christ. The name Joshua and Jesus are equal. It's like Peter, English, Pedro, Spanish, John, English, Juan, Spanish, Ivan, Russian. Same word, different spelling, different language. Joshua, Old Testament, Jesus, New Testament. And when you read Genesis through Deuteronomy, you're reading the law. Joshua was the second national leader for the nation of Israel. The second one. Moses was first. The law. He was first. Joshua second. In this Bible, when you read through this Bible, you'll find often that the second one is better than the first one. Cain and Abel, the second, was better than the first. Ishmael, Isaac, the second, was better than the first. Esau, Jacob, the second, was better than the first. The kings, you go with the first king, Saul, the second one, David, the second one was better than the first. You'll find in the New Testament somebody called the last Adam, the first Adam, back in Genesis, the last Adam, or the second Adam, Jesus Christ, better than the first. In the New Testament, you'll find in Hebrews chapter 8, the New Testament is better than the Old Testament. The second's better than the first. You know what that shows you? The second birth is better than the first. And wait till we get this second heaven going. The new heaven, new earth. That's going to be better than the one now. And you see that second one. Now, Joshua is an interesting individual, a person. He's great successes when you read through the book of Joshua. Quite a soldier for Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ appeared to him in the Old Testament form, Joshua 5. But he's a soldier. Now, we can learn several things from this man about his victories. Now, he had victories in the Old Testament as far as military conquest. That's not the order for the New Testament soldier. The New Testament soldier is to use a spiritual sword as we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Even though it's flesh and blood that we're usually talking to. In the New Testament, God has given us different orders in that we don't fight or kill anybody over religion. In the Old Testament, they could. In the Old Testament, they could kill somebody if they were a false prophet. In the New Testament, you just take this old 66 caliber black back book and give them a little thing, and you'll see them melt right in front of you. Don't have to put a hand up. Just quote that book to them. We're supposed to be New Testament soldiers. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God in pulling down of the strongholds. Now, if we take a few minutes to look at Joshua, one of the greatest soldiers in this Bible. Look, if you would, back in Joshua. And then, as you get back there, quickly also flip to Acts chapter 7, verse 45. I want to show you some things about Joshua's, why he had the victories he had in the book of Joshua. It's a very motivating book because you read victory after victory after victory. It's fun to talk about victory. Who wants to talk about defeat? But you learn more when you lose. But there's four or five ideas about Joshua give this morning about showing he's as a victorious soldier. But then I'm going to show you one error he made. He made a vital error, and they had to live with it. Now, his successes. The first part of Joshua's successes, in order to be successful like Joshua, now as a New Testament soldier, not like the Old Testament ones. Now, it'll work. If you're in a military too. But even at that, the first thing you'll find about Joshua is his name. His name is synonymous with Jesus. Okay, look in Acts 7:45 if you would. This is the first verse I look at when I am in a bookstore. If I'm looking at a Bible and it says King James, the first one I look at is Acts 7:45, because you have some of these so-called Christian book companies that are publishing books that say King James on it, and them dirty, rotten rascals have changed words, like Thomas Nelson Publishers. Acts 7:45, I look in Acts 7:45, and I see if the word Jesus is there. Now notice that. Read the context of that, and you'll see that that says Jesus brought them into the land of Canaan. Well, I thought it was Joshua. It was Joshua. His name is synonymous with Jesus. There's another cross-reference very similar to that in Hebrews 4:8. Hebrews 4:8 reveals that Jesus brought them into rest. Yet historically, we know it was Joshua. Now, what's that name mean? Jesus, Joshua. That name means Jehovah is salvation. Salvation is only found in Jesus Christ. You say, Yasser Arafat wouldn't appreciate that. Tough apples. If you don't like it, lump it. Oh, we need to be diplomatic about it. Yeah, stick it in his face. If you don't like it, he's got to deal with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. We can't be diplomatic with God. There's no bargaining tables with God. Now, if a person thinks he's going to try to work his way to heaven, I might surprise you and tell you, yeah, you can work your way to heaven. So, well, what I got to do? Well, you got to read Genesis, Deuteronomy, and obey that from the day you're born to the day you die. That's all you got to do. Just read that law. Read all of it. If a guy's going to try to work his way to heaven, that's what he's got to do. Now, when you honestly read Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, if you just read Deuteronomy in itself and read all them rules and regulations and all these things in there, you have to obey that from the day you're born until the day you die. If you do that, then you get to heaven by works. But when you read that Old Testament, you find out you can't do it. So what steps in? The sixth book in the Bible. Joshua, there's our Savior. Reference to Jesus Christ. Look, if you would, in Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. When your person is honest and sincere, and they read what this Bible says, you're going to find several things in this Bible that doesn't match up with your life. Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. Galatians 2:16. When you read, starting in Genesis and go through Deuteronomy, the law, you're going to find out you don't match up. And Galatians 2:16 says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. So now what has the law become for us? Next chapter, chapter 3, verse 24. That little book of Deuteronomy, 34 chapters, that becomes a school teacher. That book becomes a teacher, and that book basically tells you the rules of life, and that teacher gives you an F. A flunk. That teacher tells us, hey, there's another professor coming down the hallway. He's going to get the next class. It happens to be Joshua. Name's Jesus Christ. Galatians 3, verse 24. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. So, as far as a successful soldier of Jesus Christ, number one, obviously you got to get saved. You got to receive Jesus Christ as your only hope for heaven. Place your faith and trust in Him and Him alone. And at that moment, the Lord Jesus Christ gives you eternal life. What do you need right after that? Well, look in Joshua 1 verse 8. You need to get a book in your hand. Joshua is the first man in history who was guided by a book. Very first man in history. God did not write anything down as far as his words go until Moses wrote some things down. Oh, unless you count Elihu, who wrote the book of Job, maybe about the same time, maybe a touch earlier. But even at that, Joshua was the first man who was guided by a book. Joshua 1 verse 8, it says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Everything rises and falls on what you do with that book. Right there. There's the rules right there. That book is rules. And he's the first one who was told by God, "I'm going to guide you by a book." Hence, people say, you need to go by the book. If all else fails, read the instructions. And if a guy violates the law, they book him. And if he doesn't do well in the court, the judge will throw a book at him. All sayings. At the judgment seat of Christ and at the white throne judgment, God is going to have a book laid out there, John 12:48, and he's going to judge us according to what's in the book. It's all laid out for us. That's the rules of court right there. God has given them to us. Perfect in the old King James Bible. And you see, we got to be guided by that book. Now that same book becomes our sword in the New Testament. Ephesians 6:17, it becomes our sword. You drop the S off the sword and you got the word of God. Now this book right here prophesied that there's going to be a prophet coming in Deuteronomy chapter 18. Deuteronomy 18:15, it says, "The Lord thy God will raise unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken. According to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, They have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I command him." So we got a prophet being prophesied. We know that's the Lord Jesus. Moses, the first public miracle that he performed was turning water into blood. The first public miracle of Jesus Christ was turning water into wine, or the pure blood of the grape, it's called, in Deuteronomy 32:14. It's a parallel. Jesus Christ, who spoke God's words. And you see, the way you show your love for Jesus Christ is you spend time in his book, in the words. John 14:23, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." The Lord Jesus Christ said in John 8:47, he said, "He that is of God heareth God's words. You hear them not because you're not of God." So we got to be guided by a book. As Brother Nico would say, the book. Got to be guided by a book. So we got a sword. Now, what does Joshua do with that book? If you go back in Joshua, we'll look at him spiritually. Joshua 1:8, he has a book. Now, what's he going to do with that book? Joshua chapter 3, verse 5. He's going to read that book, and that book is going to sanctify him. Going to set him apart. So that's step number 3 as far as victory is going, becoming a victorious Christian or a soldier, is get sanctified by the book. Joshua 3:5, Joshua said unto the people, "Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." What's that mean? Sanctified, being holy. Now I know the brethren, they've got their rules, and they got, you know, if you dot your I and cross your T according to them, you're holy. You got to find out God's rules. And notice that he'll work on the heart more than anything, but as far as being sanctified, I'm not talking about a pious sanctification, you know, a pious holiness, you know, a guy walking around, you know, going all that stuff. I'm just talking about being sincere, trying to live a clean life. Sanctification. This is an everyday thing. This is always adjusting. It's always changing. It's always willing to change some things according to what God has. A Bible believer is somebody who changes his beliefs to match the Bible, never changes the Bible to match his beliefs. Constant adjustments. You'll do that till the day you die. Like in our household, we always got more, another rule going on. Here's another rule. Another rule. Got another one. Why? Because you're trying to grow. I forgot to do this. Oh, I got to do this. Oh, I learned this. Oh, I do this. Constant adjustments. When I was growing up, come early June, it's cultivating time. With cultivating time, you know, Dad said, get on tractor. I'd get on tractor. He said, okay, go down the row. I'd go down 50 feet. Dad holds hands up. Stop, stop. I'd stop. Raise the cultivator. Okay, adjust this. Adjust this over this way. Adjust not over this. Adjust this. Then he said, okay, lay it down. Go. 50 feet. Dad, hold on. Well, I got to do some more. Adjust. Oh, I got to move this over. Got to move this. Oh, adjust. Oh, we got to loosen that up. Got to raise it. Oh, got to lower it. Oh, all this stuff. Okay, Dad, get on tractor. 50 feet. Hold it. Oh, that first adjustments is just, man, adjustments. And then when you're out there cultivating, you got to make sure you don't go too fast, but you can't go too slow. You go too fast, you put dirt on top of the beans. Go too slow, you don't push it into the beans. Very precise. Constant adjustments. You get tired of adjustments, but you never stop. Why? Because you're trying to walk with God. Adjust the attitude of the child here. Adjust this. Adjust that. Spank them for this. When they do wrong. You know, do this. Adjust that. Apologize to your wife for what you said. Didn't like the tone of your voice. Didn't do it in the right way. It was misunderstood. Maybe you meant it. Apologize for this. Apologize for that. Constant adjustments. Why? Because we're sinners. And this old mouth is going to say things it ought not say. You got to adjust your child here. You got to work on this. You got to work on that. Not to the day you die. You're going to change. You're going to change, constantly trying to stay living a holy life for God. Work on this. Got to work on it. Why? Sanctified. Joshua said, sanctify him. Joshua 3:5. Now, in this process, the more you spend time in this book, you're going to find some weird things this Bible has. It's got some strange stuff in here. Look in Joshua 5. Joshua 5, verse 2. Now, if you know the history of this, remember, they're getting ready to walk into the land of Canaan. They're getting ready to conquer. They're getting ready to fight and kill. God told them. He said, get rid of them Canaanites. Kill their religion. Get rid of their culture. Get rid of everything them Canaanites have. Don't you marry them. Don't you make any agreements with them. Wipe them off the map. Get them back where they're supposed to be. Push them out of here. Get them back down in Africa where they're supposed to be. That's what he's telling them to do. No, make no agreements. But right before this gets started, he throws a very weird and a peculiar order on them. Joshua 5:2. At that time the Lord said unto Joshua, make thee sharp knives and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. And you read down through the story. Now, the Bible is written where it often blows over the top of kids' heads, but you adults know what I'm talking about. Think about this. The people in Jericho, they've got military scouts out there. They know where the enemy's coming. The Israelites got their scouts. They know what the enemy's doing. And now he wants us to circumcise the soldiers? What does he want us to do? Why don't he just put the knife to our throat and cut our neck? Can you imagine that strange command? The Bible's got weird doctrines in there. You read some of these strange doctrines, it's got some strange stuff going on there. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 9, it says, be not carried about by strange doctrines. I'll give you a strange doctrine. Below your feet, it's hollow. Got compartments down there. One's hot, one's hotter, one's hottest. Got tunnels down there. Below the ground. And these weird beings go back and forth these tunnels. And then they come up out of the triangle, the Bermuda Triangle, and then they get over here and go to Area 51. They start manipulating things, and they start manipulating DNA, and they're trying to clone an alien with an animal with a human. And that's Bible doctrine. It's going to take place in tribulation. They're working on it right now. Ain't that weird? It's weird doctrines, but it's in the book. Strange doctrine. Isn't this a weird doctrine? Now, there were some fellas back in Genesis chapter 38 where their sister went out someplace, Dinah. She's blowing her horn. I don't know what she's doing. She's out there blowing her horn, doing something. And some tall, dark guy came along to her, and he kind of liked her. And he sweet-talked her. And her brothers found out about that. Ooh, it made them mad. Got mad about that. And he said, if you fellas want to marry our girls, then what you got to do is get circumcised. And while they got circumcised, two men went in camp and killed them all. Don't you know Joshua was thinking about that? What is this? It's exercising faith. God is going to have you do some things, going to check you out. Weird stuff. Out of the ordinary. Strange stuff. You'll find these things in the Bible. This book's an offensive book. You'll find some things very offensive in this book. You think Gene Dixon likes reading that Exodus 18:21 where it says, suffer not to let a witch live? I bet you that's a Harry Potter's author's favorite verse. Suffer not to let a witch live. The Bible's got offensive things in it. You're going to find some things that's going to offend you. What are you going to do with it? I'll give you some strange doctrines in the Bible. How about in when God told Hosea, he said, hey, Hosea, I got a bride for you. He said, oh, you do? Yeah, I do, Hosea. He said, oh, praise the Lord. You got a bride for me, probably a nice Jewish girl, probably a virgin girl. Well, I've got a little different plan for you, Hosea. Okay. I wouldn't suggest you pick up the veil until after you said I do. Okay. What is her name? Gomer. Oh, Shazam. How can I look in a woman's eyes romantically and say, I love you, Gomer? Knowing that she was a harlot. Now, ain't that a weird command? He obeyed. He told Ezekiel, he said, Ezekiel, I got a plan for you. He says, I want you to take these little toys, these G.I. Joes and some of these pottery things. And he said, I want you to go out there in the street corner and I want you to lay around on your left side for 390 days. He says, what do I look like, a NIPSCO worker or something? He said, okay, what do you want me to do? He said, okay, now I want you to cook your food this way. Here's your Ezekiel bread. This is the recipe. He said, I want you to cook it with this. What? Human dung? Oh, what kind of aroma do you want me to put in that thing? Okay, if that's kind of bothersome, try this. And he throws him a buffalo chip. Ezekiel chapter 4. Now, you thought your cooking smelled bad. And he said, oh, by the way, when you're done 390 days on one side, I want you to roll over and do the other side for 40 days. That's a weird command. He told Ezra, Ezra chapter 9, he said, I want to have a revival in Israel right now. And the Lord said, Ezra said, okay, give me some documents so I can start passing out so we can get these people, get a revival going. He said, okay. And he passed the documents to Ezra. And Ezra's looking at them. Divorce papers? What is this, God? He said, oh, they got a bunch of wives they don't need. Read it, Ezra 9 and 10. They had a national-wide revival because they decided to get divorced. Ezra 9 and 10. Now, isn't that weird? I wouldn't use that. Can you imagine revivalists going across America? We're going to have a great revival. And he passed out divorce papers to everybody in church. That's what the Lord did in Ezra chapter 9 and 10. I'm telling you, there's some strange things in the Bible. Very strange things. Now, what are you going to do with these strange things? You have a choice. You can do one of three things. You can just reject it right off like that. Or you can receive it just like that, and I wouldn't recommend that. Something that's strange, I would not recommend receiving it right off just like that. I would recommend doing some research. You can reject it, receive it, or do some research. And what's the research for?
To prove it to yourself.
Check it out. Study it. Study for yourself. Read it for yourself. I don't believe that a person should just jump on things and then jump off something and jump on something. Take your time. Study it out. God's not in a hurry. Some fellows came to Jeremiah one time and they said, "We want to find out what the Lord says." Jeremiah says, "Okay, yeah. He didn't think they did, but even at that." And it was 10 days God gave an answer. They had to wait 10 days. He's probably wondering, man, what's taking them so long? Must be long distance. Must have a bad connection. A computer must have bugged out on them or something, crashed. I'm telling you, there's some strange things in the Bible. And there's some strange things that God may do to you to check you out. How do you think Stephen felt or Peter felt when Jesus looked at him and said, "Get behind me, Satan"? In John chapter 6, Jesus gave a hot and heavy doctrine, and 70 of his disciples left him. Why? It was weird. Strange. It wasn't normal to them. The Bible's got strange doctrines. The Bible is going to put some strange commissions on us. And what's the Lord want us to do? He's checking us out. Now, there's another characteristic about Joshua. Look in Joshua chapter 5, verse 13. Now, you'll not find very many preachers tell you this one, but I'm going to tell you this one. Joshua 5:13, "And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went up unto him and said unto him, Art thou for us or for our adversaries?" What is this characteristic? He's suspicious. Patrick Henry said in the Anti-Federalist Papers, "Suspicion is a virtue, not a vice." That's a virtue. That ain't no vice. You say, "Well, you're supposed to trust." Trust God. Not a guy walking around with two legs as a sinner. Especially not some guy in the Vatican walking around like that. Suspicion. You say, "Well, who's he suspicious of?" Do you think Joshua walked over to this guy, you know, just, "Hey, how you doing, man?" No doubt when Joshua walked over to this guy, he had his hand on his sword, ready to go. He said, "Feller, you force against us." And if that guy would have made a twitch, he would have been ready to go. That's a soldier. Suspicious. Suspicious. Verse 14, "And he said, Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord, am I now come? And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto thy servant?" And Joshua, the captain of the Lord's host, said unto Joshua, "Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy." And Joshua did so. You say, well, he was suspicious of an Old Testament appearance of Jesus Christ. That's exactly right. It made him a good soldier. You've got to be suspicious. That ain't a vice, it's a virtue. Proverbs 14, verse 15 says, "The simple believeth every word, but the prudent looketh well to his going." What am I saying? I'm saying don't trust me. Trust the book. Check it out for yourself. See what the Bible says for yourself. 1 Peter 5, verse 8, "Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary the devil walketh about seeking whom he may devour." Suspicious. Soldiers going to enemy territory, bunch of little kids playing. Little kids run up to the soldier. He's a fool. What should he do? Whip out that sword or get that weapon? Say, "Children, stay away." Suspicious. Why? Many of them kids have grenades. There's been soldiers that have died in battle because when they get conquered and they're walking, marching down the road, there's a toy in the path. There's a toy, a little kid's toy. Kick the toy. Boom! His leg's gone because they set that out there. Suspicious. Suspicious. Jesus Christ said, Matthew 10:16, "Beware of men." Paul said, Philippians 3, verse 2, "Beware of the concision. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers." Paul said, Colossians 2, verse 8, "Beware of philosophy and vain deceit." Watch out! John wrote in Revelation 3, verse 11, he said, let no man take thy crown. Somebody's trying to defeat you. They come in flesh and blood. And you got to be suspicious, and you got to beware, and you got to watch out. You got to check things out. God even said himself, Malachi 3:10, he said, prove me now herewith. He said, check me out. 1 John 4, verse 1, he says, try the spirits to see whether they be of God. What I'm saying is be suspicious. You flip on the boob tube, watch this Christian television, you talk about a bunch of charlatans. Benny Hinn. What a clown. People watch that stuff. They sit there and believe that. A guy's looking at a camera and he said, I see you out there. I'm praying for you. No, you ain't, fella. You don't see me. You're looking at a camera. You're not praying for me. All you want is a seed faith vial sent into you, pal. Bunch of charlatans. See, a soldier will see that and observe that. That smooth talk, that may work on the females, but a man that's a soldier and he's suspicious of stuff, cut it out. Go kid somebody else. That's what a soldier's supposed to be. Suspicious of things. Job 12, verse 11, Job said, as the ear try words, the mouth tastes meat. So what it is, when words come out of somebody's mouth or out of their mouth, you check them things out. Is that with Scripture? And if you're suspicious about it, way back. Just lay back, think about it, pray about it, ask God for direction. Now, if it's really against some things you were taught, search it out. Research it. Research it. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm saying research it. Check it out. People don't want to check things out. Well, it's not what I was taught. Man, when you get into this book, you'll find that this book will change your beliefs. I mean, you talk about the path of religion, if you call it that. My path, you know, Dutch Reform, non-denominational, Grace College, a little Calvinism thrown in there. Get into Hiles Anderson Fundamental Baptist. You got to start asking questions, start figuring some things out. Then I see this old King James Bible floating along. I said, hey, I'm going to check that one out. And I've been on that ship for a while, and that thing don't have any leaks. All them other ones got leaks in there. I saw that old King James Bible was going along. I said, man, let's jump on that bandwagon for a while and check that out. And I've been on that thing for quite a while. And that this boat don't have any leaks. Now, it's kind of strange. I see some of the people riding this boat trying to get some water from outside and put it in the boat. King James cares, but they don't believe it. But you see, that's what the Lord wants us to be. That'd be a blessing, Lord. Follow a book. Joshua is a successful soldier. As far as his campaigns go, we can see success in the Christian life when we follow the book. Now, keep going in Joshua. Look, chapter 9. Now, here's a drawback. Here's a failure. Joshua 9. And this is so easy to do. So easy to do. Joshua 9. It's interesting. Joshua chapter 8, the last two verses, it says that they just got done reading the entire law. If you just leave it with Deuteronomy, here they did, read 34 chapters of Deuteronomy, read the whole thing. They read in there where in chapter 7 they are not to make any agreements with anybody in Canaanite land. And here we got Joshua 9, they're making an agreement with somebody. Somebody must have been sleeping at the switch. Joshua chapter 9, here these Gibeonites come, verse 1 and 2. Verse 4, it says, they did work wily and went and made as if they had been ambassadors. Here they, if you know the story, they dressed themselves up in old cast cloths and everything. They looked like they had had a long journey. They found some moldy bread, all that stuff. And here they come up to Joshua, verse 6. And they went to Joshua unto the camp of Gilgal and said unto him to the men of Israel, We be come from a far country. Now that ought to be enough to give them away where they're coming from. But even at that, we be come from a far country. Now therefore make ye a league. Make ye a league with us.
Well, okay, let's check these fellows out. The men of Israel said unto the Hivites, peradventure ye dwell among us. How shall we make a league with you? They said unto Joshua, we are thy servants. Notice they didn't answer the question. Well, this, and Joshua said unto them, who are ye and from whence come ye? They said, well, from a very far country thy servants are come because of the name of the Lord thy God, and we have heard the fame of him and all that he did in Egypt and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites and beyond Jordan. So Sihon the king. Now, when you read that answer, you'll notice they did not answer the first question. You got to watch out for people who evade questions. Bureaucrats are masters of this. And their answer will be a 10-minute answer, and so the person says, I want to answer, ask him another question. The follow-up after this answer should have been, and who are you? And they'd have given another long thing, and spiel. Yes, who are you? So you got to watch out for that. Got to be very precise in these things. What was the problem? Verse 14. The problem was, and the men took the victuals and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. They didn't pray about it. Didn't pray about it. Didn't even seek God. Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understandings. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Now this is so easy to do, just to forget to ask God. Joshua forgot to ask God. So we need to continue to ask God about things. Ask God for clear direction. Ask God for wisdom. Now, they made a contract here. It was a fraudulent contract, but they still made a contract. And God held them to it. He held them to it clear up to 2 Samuel 21, where Saul violated this and they received punishment for it. The idea is they walked into this thing with both eyes wide open. It's just that they didn't seek God. Didn't pray about it. See, you can have all these great virtues, but if we forget to seek God and ask God, we still mess up. That's his failure right there. That's his one failure. All the successes, that one failure. You say, well, I still wasn't bad. I agree. It's not that bad. But still, it could have been avoided if we seek God's wisdom through prayer. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I do pray you'd help us to be good soldiers of the Lord Jesus. I pray you'd help us to be willing to research the difficult areas, difficult things of the Bible. Help us to understand this book. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to forget, or not to forget. Help us not to forget to seek your guidance and wisdom. Well, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. The first step for successful Christian life is obviously got to get saved. Got to get saved. And you get a book. You follow what the book says. You change things in your lives according to the book. You're going to cross some very strange things. Research them. Study them out. You have to be careful at all times. You have to be virtuous. You have to be vigilant and be suspicious. The best drivers on the highway are defensive drivers. They don't trust anybody on the road. They drive defensively. The best Bible students are defensive Bible students. They want to see what the book says for themselves. But in that process, don't forget to pray. Ask God for wisdom. The instruments play, the altar's open if you need it. Ask the Lord for direction, for guidance. If you need the altar, it's open for you. If you don't know for sure you're going to heaven, we'd be glad to show you in the Bible. You just ask anybody, and they'll get you to somebody to show you how you can know for sure you're going to heaven. Joshua and the people just failed to ask for the Lord's counsel. Had all these great victories. Just one little flaw. Lord, thank you for a great soldier in Joshua. Thank you for his testimony. Lord, I pray you'd help us learn from him, and I pray, Lord, that you'd also help us to trust in you, lean to you, ask you, acknowledge you in all our ways. Lord, we ask for wisdom. Ask that you'd guide us and direct us. Help us to be faithful soldiers of thee. In Jesus' name, amen.